Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Dawn B., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today is Monday, December 30th, 2024, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we're on page 68, the first paragraph. We've reviewed our fears thoroughly through one paragraph ending, when it made us cocky, it was worse. And we'll be commenting on this one paragraph today. Today's readers, 12 Steps, Liz A., 12 Traditions, Leland P., readers of the text, Eileen M., Ainsley F., and Sandy K. The reference number for Sunday, December 29th, is 22,033. That's 22033. And for this morning, Monday, December 30th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, the reference number is 22,034. That's 22034. Our newcomer greeter this morning is Judith R., and Robin P. will do the announcements. Thank you to everyone for providing service for this meeting for the entire month of December. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donation. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose: to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I'll now ask Liz A. to please read the 12 steps of OA.
Good morning, everyone. Liz A., compulsive overeater in California, the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me be of service this month, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Liz A. I will now ask Leland P. to read the 12 traditions of OA.
Hi, this is Leland P., recovering compulsive overeater in Berlin. The 12 traditions. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for a group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants, they do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me share in do service in December. I pass.
Thank you so much, Lilan P. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that you're sharing.
Don, you got muted. Can you please
I can't hear you.
I can't hear anything.
It's okay. We'll get that moderator unmuted again. Thanks, Don.
Thank you so much. And to share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book, and we're on page 68, that first paragraph. We reviewed our fears thoroughly through one paragraph ending, when it made us cocky, it was worse. Commenting on this one paragraph today. I'll now ask Eileen M. to read and then share with us.
Good morning. This is Eileen M., very grateful recovered compulsive overeater in New Hampshire. We reviewed our fears thoroughly. We put them on paper, even though we had no resentment in connection with them. We asked ourselves why we had them. Wasn't it because self-reliance failed us? Self-reliance was good as far as it went, but it didn't go far enough. Some of us once had great self-confidence, but it didn't fully solve the fear problem or any other. When it made us cocky, it was worse. Yeah, this is such a good paragraph about how to deal with fear. So it says we put them on paper. So we write them down so we can see them clearly. For me, fear was a primary reading. I thought it was up to me to figure things out. You know, that's self-reliance. And, you know, when I look back at my inventories, you know, I see that, like, so many of my decisions were based on fear. You know, it was something that just ran my life. When I got to a vision for you, when I started coming to these meetings, it was 8.5 years ago, I learned that fear means that the future may not go my way. And, you know, I began to think about this morning with this reading and realized that, you know, when I have fear, I want to be in control. And I want to have control over things that I have no control over. And that's part of the reason for the fear for me. And, you know, in the past, my inventories have had more fears than resentments. And what happens if I don't address my fear in this process, I start ruminating about whatever I'm afraid of. And the problem with ruminating is that it keeps me in the bondage of self. So I'm stuck in self. And, you know, the other thing is it uses up a lot of mental energy. You know, and there's somewhere in the big book it says that, you know, if I'm burning energy foolishly, you know, I'm squandering the hours that might have been worthwhile. And the problem with fear is I just notice, like, if I'm just obsessing about it, it just gets bigger and bigger. And there's one of the things my sponsor said to me in the past was, you know, something I always remember. She said, okay, if you said in step two that you believe in a higher power, then, you know, how do your actions reflect that belief? And that's particularly helpful when it comes to fear. So thank you so much. And with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Eileen M., for getting us started. And I'm now going to take the names of people who would like to share. As a reminder, please keep the topic of your share focused on this paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences as well. So who would like to share with us today?
Wendy B.
Wendy B.
Meetress J. from Michigan.
Meetress J. from Michigan. Who else would like to share? Press star 1.
Deborah G.
Deborah G. And if you don't share often, this is a fantastic opportunity for you to go ahead and press star 1. We would love to hear what this paragraph means to you in your recovery. Would anyone else like to share?
Jim S. in Toledo.
Jim S.
Janice K.
Janice K.
Shirley R. from California.
Shirley R. Okay, that's a fantastic lineup. I have Wendy B., Meetress J., Deborah G., Jim S., Janice K., and Shirley R. Wendy B., please go ahead and get us started.
Good morning. This is Wendy B., recovered in Arizona. And the line that says why we had our fears was because self-reliance failed us. And, I mean, that was just so true for me. When I was growing up, the authority figures in my life weren't trustworthy. You know, they would make promises and not keep them. They would promote certain standards and not live up to them themselves. And, you know, so I thought the only one I could rely on was myself. But then I couldn't trust myself either. You know, I would make commitments and resolves and not keep them. I would make bad decisions and then lie about it so I didn't get blamed. You know, I would try to be perfect, you know, so I would get approval. You know, but those who I was trying to please were fickle and nothing I did was good enough. You know, and I wasn't any better at parenting than my parents were, you know, even though I vowed to be better. And, you know, I finally had to admit that my life run on self-will was a disaster. You know, I had no power to change myself or anyone else, you know, and I was doing damage to those I was responsible to care for. You know, I just had so much fear motivating my choices and decisions, you know, all the what ifs of an unknown future that I couldn't control, you know, and all that changed, you know, when I turned my life and will over to the care of God, you know, because he provides me. I mean, he actually proved to me that he was trustworthy, you know, that I could rely on him, even though all the humans around me were fickle and unreliable. I could entrust my future to him, you know, because he's all powerful and all knowing, and, you know, he has a plan for good. And I've experienced him, you know, turning my mistakes into learning experiences and growth. And you know, he has proved himself trustworthy. And I just am so grateful for a program that gave me access to this new way of life and this new higher power that I can trust and rely on. And, you know, and then I can be human and no longer, you know, hate myself for my human failings. And, but I can just trust that God is growing and changing me. And that's all I have. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Wendy B. from Arizona. And now we have Mitris J. from Michigan, followed by Deborah G. And if you're just joining us, we're talking about page 68, that first paragraph. We reviewed our fears thoroughly through one paragraph ending. When it made us cocky, it was worse. So Mitris J., please share with us.
Thank you. Thanks for your service, and very glad to be here. You know, I really have not really tackled my fears or admitted my fears until now. You know, I know that I felt fearful all the time or a lot of times about the unknown. I have felt fearful when it comes to staying abstinent. I have felt fearful when it has came to how I work my program, if I'm working it perfectly and never mess up. Because, see, I have a part that I have to play too. Yes, it's good to depend on my higher power and not myself and not get into self-will. But I'm responsible for working this program. See, I have a part to do, and my higher power has a part to do. And if I'm getting into the food constantly, over and over and over again, when it comes to me, I have a medical condition. It's not good for me. So I'm fearful about that if I do that. And I struggled this Christmas, and I had to have a talk with my daughter, a serious talk, and explain to her, can you please not put certain foods around the house that triggers me? Can you eat them privately? Can you put them away? See, I can't leave it all up to my higher power. Faith without works is dead. So I have to do my part. But the question is, for me, do I do it perfectly? Well, I do my part, and I do the best that I can do. And if I'm really honestly taking a look at myself and inventorying what I do, if I'm really, really, really doing my best, sincerely and honestly, but I have to do my part, I believe that's when God will step in and do for me what I can't do for myself. So I keep coming back because this program works. Thanks for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Mitris J. from Michigan. Deborah G., it's your turn, followed by Jim S.
Oh, good morning, Dawn. Thank you for your service and everyone that has made this meeting possible. And welcome, welcome to all the newcomers. I'm so glad you're joining us today. And I'm Deborah G. from Arizona. And I'm doing a fourth step again with my sponsor in another program. And again, you know, it's my thinking. I've got such a problem with my thinking. And so I've made a list. She asked me to make a list of all my fears, which I had quite a list. And a lot of them I don't still have continually, but it's just putting them all down, whatever comes. And then when we did the work, she would ask me questions about those fears, questioning the fears that I had. And also she grouped a lot of them she was able to group together in one group because it had the same like theme of it. And then I would do a prayer to God to take away that one particular group and then direct his attention to how he'd have me be, direct my attention, sorry. I'm just learning this new way, how he would have me be. And also she would ask me, how has that self-reliance worked? And no. There was all no's. And then asking God how he would have me be instead. And I am learning also, and it's always learning continually, that anytime I'm in the past thinking, you know, mentally or whatever, mentally obsessing or whatever, or the future, you know, mentally obsessed, I am not trusting God. I'm in self-reliance. And that was the bottom line. And I loved the share so far that was shared. Thank you so much for 12-step in me, that I need to trust God and live in God reliance and ask God, what's the next step to do? You know, and just be, and then continue to be reminded, God is in the moment. And breathe. And she asked me to breathe before doing the prayer. And I love that. It's just so beautiful. I love doing this work. It just is a lovely way to live. And that's all I have. Thank you so much. Everyone have a happy new year too. Safe.
Thank you so much, Deborah G. from Arizona. Jim S., it's your turn, followed by Janice K.
Jim S. in Toledo. Compulsive overeater. I just came off of a binge. Got together with a friend of mine. Got started abstaining and picked up. Now I have to go through the whole process again. I don't want to, but I know I have to. So that's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Keep coming back, Jim. Janice K., it's your turn to share, followed by Shirley R.
Hi, this is Janice K. in Oregon. Oh, boy, oh, boy. We reviewed our fears thoroughly. That in itself is quite an order for some of us. These are things I can share with you from my experiences with fear. Fear happens in the future, for me, it's predominantly a future thing where my mind gets loose and begins to play. And it makes things worse and worse and worse. The book says in a couple of places that insanity is a lack of proportion. The lack of proportion is not knowing what's big and what's small. Here is a form of insanity because I lose my sense of proportion. Ultimately, fear goes back to some very, very old, very deeply embedded beliefs that I am on my own. Self-reliance has been brought up before. I suspect a lot of people in this program learned very early, probably before they can even talk, that they're on their own. And that if they can't take care of it, it's not going to be taken care of. And that is a sad place to be. So the main question for me around fear is, who or what is bigger, my problem or God? It's very simple. And when I boil it down to those terms, I choose to let God be bigger. I have heard that love is a choice. I suspect that trust is also a choice. I will trust God because that's what I said I would do in step three. My step three position is God can be trusted. There may be good things, there may be bad things, but ultimately God can be trusted. Handing over that control, the responsibility for the future, brings about an intense release for fear. So, those are my experiences. My hope is in the decision to trust God, and that's not too unexpectedly, that's where my strength comes from as well. Thank you for listening, I guess.
Thank you so much, Janice Kay from Oregon. Shirley R., it's your turn to share. And after Shirley is done, I will take a list of more names. Just a quick reminder, we're on page 68, talking about the first paragraph. We reviewed our fears thoroughly through one paragraph ending, when it made us cocky, it was worse. So Shirley, please share with us.
Hello, this is Shirley R., a compulsive overeater, and I'm from California, and I'm wishing everybody a happy new year, and thank you, Donna. I appreciate your moderating. Well, the word cocky hit me right between the ears and heart. my kids came for Christmas. And the cocky in me said, I'm going to eat whatever I want and enjoy it and enjoy being with the family. I equated being with the family with the food, which is a stupid thing. But I did manage to get time with my grandkids. But anyway, I want to say that because I'm 83 years old, I figure I have said at some times in my mind, the self-will mind, that I'm 83 years old and I can do I damn well please. And that is very damaging when you get into the negative thoughts in this situation. And so I've been in and out and in and out, and I keep coming back. And today I'm blessed by what I've heard so far. And thank you so much. Pass.
Thank you so much, Shirley R. from California. Thank you so much. And we will now take a list of names of people who would like to share on this paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share with us?
From Romania.
I didn't catch a name in there. Let's try that again if we could.
Christine G. in Connecticut.
Christine G. Connecticut. Thank you so much.
Santa Maria, Sweden.
Santa Maria. Sandra Maria. Sweden?
Yes.
Susan?
Very good.
Deanna C., California?
Deanna C., California?
Jordan L.
Jordan L. Okay. Anyone else? I have Christine G., Sandra Maria, Deanna C., and Jordan L. Christine G., was there anyone else that wanted to share?
Sherry C.
Was that Sherry C.? You're kind of cutting out there.
S-U-R-I.
S-U-R-I. Okay, if you could possibly move to a location where there's not as much background noise, that would be great. Sherry C., got that. Okay, Christine G., please go ahead and get us started. Did I miss another name there? Okay, let's go with that lineup. Christine G., followed by Sandra Maria. Thank you, Christine.
Hi, everybody. This is Christine G. in Connecticut.
So I just worked my fourth and fifth step, and what I'm aware of is that on that resentment inventory sheet, fear is, we're asked to look at fear twice. Within our resentment, is there fear involved with this resentment? And then what are my character flaws related to this resentment? Fear. So what I realized, I've worked the step many times, and what I've realized is that the first time I did the steps, I had pages of resentments. And the second time I did the steps, I had way fewer resentments and way more fears. And today I know that every resentment I have really is about a fear, fear of not getting what I want, fear of being perceived a certain way, fear. And I like what I heard in terms of, you know, a faith without works is dead. And it's a practice. It's a moment-to-moment practice. And I'm powerless over the habits of my mind and thoughts that actually tell me that I should be afraid of these things as a way of, you know, foolishly trying to protect myself or somebody else. And what I have to accept is that I am not the protector. I am not the provider. My higher power, who I call God, is. And it is only through that connection and, yes, my active commitment to having that relationship and talking to God being active in trying to discern to the best of my ability God's will for me, that I can be relieved of these fears that can very easily step in, the fear of going, being without, the fear of, I mean, you name it. So I'm just so grateful to know that especially when a resentment comes up or a flaw of mine comes up, that I can go right to fear and look at that and say, okay, what am I afraid of here? And how can I then choose to rely on God for my protection and for my provision? And it's a practice. I don't do it perfectly. I'm a very willful, compulsive overeater in every regard of my life, just not with food. So I'm grateful to have that awareness and grateful for all of you here today and for this meeting. Have a great day. Thanks for allowing me to share.
Oh, that was great timing. Christine G. from Connecticut, thank you so much. Sandra Maria from Sweden, it's your turn, followed by Deanna C. from California.
Thank you. I'm Sandra Maria, compulsive eater in Sweden, and my Skype connection is rather bad, so I pray it will continue to last. And talking about prayer, that's a really useful relief for me from fears or resentments. Sometimes I can't write, I just need to pray. And many times I need to act. I used to think that a fear me before I took an action. But usually an action is involved, and then the fear goes with that action. So I am trying to accept that everything is a process. My work is to do the 10th step. My work is to take action and pray, and then I need to let go. And that's the hardest stuff. And a few days ago, I had like a tenant living in my head that I was resentful at, and I was so aware of it. And even if I did a 10th step, it seemed like that person still continued to live in my head, so to speak. And it helped to talk with an OA friend and kind of just laugh about it. And it made me so resentful that it was the case. So I just got too tired of being resentful. So I just got too tired of thinking about that person and chose not to do. And as I've heard as well, people speaking about the choice of letting go, the choice of choosing to act as if. That's something I really am happy that I've learned in this room, to act as if, act until the miracle comes and do the work and then see the results, not the opposite. And I've really taken a huge step of faith and trust in the unknown and in God, basically. I moved to a new city, and I felt really called to move to this city. And I didn't have an apartment at that point. I didn't have a work. And now everything is like falling into places. Not everything before I came. Still things are like on its way. But it's so interesting. Like when I trust God and when I trust my gut, so to speak, and take the necessary actions, everything else will follow. And it sounds simple, but it's not easy, but it's marvelous when I do it. And for today, I'm so grateful for being in these rooms, being abstinent and being a part of this beautiful, beautiful team of people all around doing the same thing and relying on God for their lives. It's really like a huge diamond. And I'm looking forward to hear more of you, and happy new year, happy abstinent year to all of you. Sandra Maria in Sweden, thank you.
Thank you so much. Deanna C., it's your turn, followed by Jordan L.
Can I ask
Hi,
the pages?
Go ahead.
Hi, Deanna C. in California, your turn, followed by Jordan L.
Okay, thank you. Good morning. And I think we're on page 67. I heard somebody ask what the page is.
It's actually page 68, that first paragraph.
Oh.
We reviewed our fears thoroughly through one paragraph ending, when it made us cocky, it was worse.
Perfect. So good morning. My name is Deanna C. I'm here in California. And binging and compulsive overeating was my trademark way of facing my fears in the past. It was a way of running away from the fear. And the first thing that happens for me when fear comes up is I have to remind myself that binging and compulsive overeating isn't going to help anything or anyone. And as a matter of fact, it's going to render me useless to be of maximum service to myself or anyone or anything that's going on in my life. So I try to stop and ask God to help me face my fears. And first part of facing them is reviewing them thoroughly. One of the first things I try to ask myself is, has this happened before? And what was the outcome? Most of the time, things worked out. And if God took care of it before, why wouldn't I trust God to take care of it again? And fear is not necessarily a bad thing. Fear helps to protect us. If we see a lion or a tiger, we don't go up to it and shake its hand. We move away from it because that fear is natural to help protect us. The other thing, though, about fear, and I'm going through this right now. My dad is 89. He's ailing. He's had a change in condition. And I know he's dying. And I'm a hospice worker. So I know what I'm looking at. And so I have to ask myself, is that fear true today? Yes, it is true today. But what is the next right step or action that God would have me take? The next right step or action has been to get a hospice referral and to help support my family in moving through that process. And we're doing that. That fear hasn't necessarily gone away, but God is holding my hand, helping me remain abstinent and be of maximum service to my family. But there are times when I ask myself, is that fear true today? And the answer is no. It's not true today. I mean, there's a part of my dad dying that's not true today. He's not dead today. So I can also, in addition to taking that next right action, say, how do I stay in the present and be grateful for what I do have, the time that I do have with him? So, and one other thing that I do, I'll just close with this, is sometimes I look at fear as a companion or a teacher, and I invite fear to sit down and have tea with me. And like some people do a two-way prayer, I have a two-way conversation with fear. Good morning. Welcome. What are you here to teach me? And listen to what fear has to say back to me and have a dialogue. Sometimes fear just wants to be heard. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you for letting me share.
Oh, thank you so much, Deanna C. from California, and my thoughts and prayers are with you and your family. Jordan L., it's your turn to share, followed by Suri C.
Hey, good morning. Thanks, Dawn, for moderating this morning. Appreciate you. My name is Jordan L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Colorado, and I'm very grateful to be abstinent and on a meeting of Overeaters Anonymous. I'm very grateful to be reading about inventory here, which is pretty wild. Inventory. I've been here a little while now. I'm practicing this for a little while, but inventory was not my friend when I first got here. I found it pretty difficult and hard, actually, to try to sit down and concentrate and write this stuff out and kind of like stay out of the story and not get too far into my head about it, you know? So I'm very grateful to the awesome sponsorship that I had that showed me how to do this, how to use inventory as a tool for God to kind of get through to me, because I'm pretty stubborn and hard-headed. And this paragraph here about, I love the shares, what's been shared on it so far. This bit about self-reliance, though, is really important. If you're a real compulsive overeater like me, if you are desperate and hopeless and living in your head and food obsession all the time, you know? And it took me a long time to recognize that self-reliance, that the fear is not the enemy here. The fear is kind of like someone alluded to already. It's like a natural thing. It's very much a part of like the God-given instincts that I have, you know? What hurts me in these scenarios is the self-reliance that I came by very innocently, might I mention, right? Self-reliance is a way of life in this world of ours, in this great country of ours, in the way that we go about doing things. It's very much encouraged and rely on yourself and you're all your God, and we live in a very individualistic society where you're supposed to rely on yourself. That's how you become successful and self-made and all of those things, right? So this inventory, this 12-step way of life, was the first time that I had ever encountered a spiritual approach or an approach where it was like, we're going to set aside the self-reliance and we're going to try this other way, you know? and so I'm because of that, I'm very grateful to be a compulsive overeater. But I was, that was the circumstances in which I was like introduced to this different way of walking through this world, this spiritual approach, right? And I love too what was talked about, that sort of feeling of being in step with the world, being in rhythm with what's going on around you, and kind of like the next paragraph talks about being in the world to play the role that's been assigned by our Creator. You know, it's a wonderful feeling. There's nothing like it in the world. And it really is a promise, a result of living this way. And what's wild is you don't even need the results to try it. You can try it without ever having experienced the results. And they still come, that sort of feeling that there's no place or time in this world that I would rather be than right here, right now, where I am. So thank you for letting me share. And that's it. I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Jordan L. from Colorado. Suri C., it's your turn to share, and please let us know where you're calling from.
Hi, this is Suri C. I'm calling from New York. I'm on the list in Connecticut. Wow. This meeting is truly a godsend, and just I have to start by saying thank you. Thank you, thank you to all those that do service every day, for all those that keep this meeting happening, for all those that put their name out. You never know where and how far your message is supposed to go. And mine, I'm an unrecovered voice. I'm still struggling with the food, still struggling with the family. And I laugh at the, you know, self-reliance. I have so much of it, but you know what? It's also God-reliance. Like, I have a higher power within me, and I have this drive within me that is supposedly my own. I'm not necessarily a bundle of fears. I am with, you know, good orderly direction. When I humble myself and I take it, I can do things that don't necessarily make sense at the time, but have that are good, that I trust will be for the better. And to open up and see that, like, today's reading is, you know, it's my first time opening the book in a while again. And I opened up to this paragraph. I've been stuck on step four. I am terrified of my fears. And putting them on paper, second sentence, I've been avoiding writing anything down. I am scared of paper right now. How does that make sense? Because I'm scared of food. And I'm for those that, you know, want to do an outreach call, I am currently, you know, in my 40s, living with my parents because I have to pull myself together. And they are happy for me to stay there forever. And I need to figure out my way out. My way out of the food, my way out, not of family, because family is also right. I didn't choose my family. I'm blessed with them. And I just, and the food is deeply ingrained in everything. I mean, don't get me started. I'm grateful that I haven't eaten as much as I did this holiday season. So I am sitting with the fears. I'm grateful for the messages I've heard in this line. I will keep with God's help. May I be so blessed, keep coming back, and hopefully get abstinence at one day soon, and also do service and get a sponsor, which I'm also afraid of. lots of fears. Thank you. And with that, I pass.
Great timing. Thank you so much, Suri C., and to everyone who shared, making this meeting just very, very special. We're now going to close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Ainsley F. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only. Keep you until then.
Hi, this is Ainsley F. in Michigan. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until